just trying to change the world here, people.
Oh, really?
The Facebooking and the tweeting and the Instagramming, all that would not exist without our understanding of science.
So it's amazing how you do that as an insult.
You mean true for you is different from true for anybody else?
Yeah,
something to
absolutely,
you?
Because I can't.
Something's either got to be true or not.
I can't. No, no.
All right. Good evening. Welcome to O'Reilly Radio Show 56 for Friday, May 1st, 2015. And this is O'Reilly Radio, where we dismantle the current events for your edutainment through mostly rational conversations that make you go, oh, really? I'm your host, Andy Cowan, joined by my usual suspects. We've got David, we've got Michael, and we've got Don.
Why, hello there.
Hello. Good evening.
Good evening. Don, are you there?
Yeah, hello.
Ah.
There he is.
Hello, everybody.
We could not hear you. Not hear you at all. Okay.
There is a slight difference in the audio this evening as we are cobbling together something through Skype and Hangouts because Skype has better audio than Hangouts. Terribly sorry. If you're Google, please fix that, and then we won't have to use Skype anymore because, honestly, I hate the program. All right. Errata from last week, we went out and I shanghaied Mike. I took him to ReasonCon. Of his own volition, even. He volunteered. And I encourage you to listen. Well, I suggest, I don't even know if I can encourage you to listen to our bonus episodes in between the actual show proper 55 and this one, as those are bonus audio that, I cannot completely be held responsible for the content of, as its stream of consciousness weirdness completely unfiltered by anything. But hey, if you like that kind of thing and you're just kind of a voyeur and you just like to see what the heck's going on in other people's lives, those are shows to listen to because they're not out on YouTube. I'm sorry, and they probably never will be. But there you go. All right, so that's did anything else happen between last week and this week that we need to touch on? I think that's it.
Yeah, I don't think there's any major developments in the world of errata. I mean, there's been a lot of major developments, which we're going to get to in a second. Yes, exactly.
Major developments, yes. That's a visual sight gag reference for those of you in audio land. Yes, the major reference thing. Everybody salutes, you know, that kind of thing.
Major reference.
Yes, there you go. I've told you now. I may not ever tell you again, but it's been told. Okay. All right, so over this week, there have been several things that have happened under the I just don't know what to think category, even though I do have some inklings. The Supreme Court of the United States has heard the oral arguments for Obergefell versus Hodges. And this is the big question. This is the case that is going to determine whether or not we're going to have marriage equality in this country. Over every state.
All 50 states nationally. At once. There will be no laws constitutionally that can be written which prevent it.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know how to put this, but it's kind of a big deal.
It's kind of a big deal.
It is a big deal. Now, sure. Yes, Don?
No, I said certainly.
Okay. For some reason, you're still not being caught by the audio, even in Skype. I don't know. So gonna have to bring you in, man. Bring you in.
Uh-oh.
Do we have incoming?
We
may have incoming.
We may have incoming. One moment, please.
One drop pod en route.
Okay. Nice.
How about now? I turned off the automatic setting.
Oh, yes. We don't like automatic settings.
It turned itself back on.
Well, screw that automatic setting.
Is an automatic setting automatically sets itself?
Yeah.
So automatic. Sorry for the technical details. Some people like that. And if you do like that, you know what? You should tell us. Give us a call at 470-222-6759. Leave us a voicemail and tell us how good we're doing. Or not. Either way. But let
us know. Speaking of how good we're doing, we got subbies.
We do. I was checking the
milestone subbies.
I was checking the statistics, and we are over the 200 subscriber mark, which kind of blows me away a little bit. And I really thank you all for being out there. But
yes,
I would like a little bit more input. You know, drop us a line, tell us who you are, why you're listening, where you found us. You know, just say hi. We'd really like that. And you can get us at orellyradiopodcast@gmail.com. That's O-R-L-Y, radio, podcast, all one word, @gmail.com. Or I did get a couple other email addresses, so even if you screw up, it'll probably still get to me. So make that happen, folks. And do we have
Mike,
another...
Mike, did you want to have the floor?
Do we have another face?
All I wanted to say was, who are you people?
Yes, who are you people out there in Internetlandia? Citizens of the Internet. Netizens, if you will. We do have one netizen out there that is watching right now, and I'd like to give a shout out to Nico, who helped us with some initial audio questions since we've cobbled this together. She was kind enough to at least tell us that she could understand what the heck we were saying, which is always a plus from coming from us anyway.
Yes.
So there is a bit of a chat going on over there in the IRC, which is available out on the webpage, www.orellyradio.com. Please go. Find everything that you want right there. Now, back to the Supreme Court of the United States. Okay. I've listened to the oral arguments because they were posted on SoundCloud. I've got those links for part one, which was on the first question, and then part two, which was conveniently on the second question. It's about 2.5 hours of audio. And amazingly, it was entertaining somehow. It was engaging and entertaining. So it's not something to go to sleep to, which is nice. SCOTUS blog had some supercuts from the arguments. There's a few things to be concerned with there, obviously. Let's see. That's 30. I know I'm not going to listen to that. We're not going to inflict too much of the audio of the attorneys and the justices bantering back and forth, because really there just is too much.
It's 2.5 hours.
It's 2.5 hours. I mean, yeah, that could be our show, but maybe we should MST3K it one day, not today.
One day.
Yeah. Like,
one
you know,
day, someday.
Take one and just, you know, play it and just, you know, talk over these bastards. But the gist of the arguments is, really, just to distill it down, the only way that you can possibly get this to go without it just being a religious issue, because obviously it is, but without it being a religious issue, something that will hang on to everything, is it's a state's rights issue. That's what they're trying to force it to be. That's a problem. Because with, there's something called the 14th Amendment. Now, the 14th Amendment is a little bit, it's difficult to read. Okay, there. Sorry, we're trying to add Jessica into the group here. And
it's apparently not working.
It's just not taking.
Let's see if we can make this happen. Skype is so entertaining. And I apologize for the technical difficulties that we have here, but her input is important.
Wording, yeah.
And there is her face. Hey, say something so that we actually can hear you.
Hey, pumpkin pie.
Oh my God.
Okay.
You need to fiddle with the levels.
I can't.
I know you can.
No, I can't. That's Skype. Her levels were just really hot. As she continues to talk, they'll come down. So please continue to talk.
Sorry, I'll be quiet.
Okay, no, it's fine. It's fine. It's
fine.
There. Yeah.
Those darn automatic settings again.
Wow. Okay.
Turn this off.
I'm very sorry for your ear holes out there. I'm going to try and at least protect your speakers from blowing out in the podcast version. Okay. So Jess, we were talking about the SCOTUS and what they've been talking about with the marriage equality ruling here. So we're going over the oral arguments, and I'm coming down to trying to figure out why this is even an issue and how they can possibly make it stick where you can't have marriage equality throughout this wonderful nation of ours. And it really comes down to the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment. If you just read the 14th Amendment, it's a lot like ancient stereo instructions written in a foreign language. I don't really see where they're getting the Equal Protection Clause from, but essentially, well, I'll read it from Cornell Law, law.cornell.edu. The Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution prohibits states from denying any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws. And then, of course, there's a link to see the amendment itself. In other words, and these are the words that are important because at least lawyers have figured out what these mean, the laws of a state must treat an individual in the same manner as others in similar conditions and circumstances. A violation would occur, for example, if a state prohibited an individual from entering into an employment contract because he or she was a member of a particular race. The Equal Protection Clause is not intended to provide equality among individuals or classes, but only equal application of the laws. The result, therefore, of a law is not relevant as long as there is no discrimination in its application. By denying states the ability to discriminate, the Equal Protection Clause of the Constitution is crucial to the protection of civil rights. Generally, the question of whether the Equal Protection Clause has been violated arises when a state grants a particular class of individuals the right to engage in an activity, yet denies other individuals the same right. Ergo, marriage equality. Mike is raising a finger.
Yes, since we're trying not to talk over each other so much,
I would like
to point out that the 14th Amendment came into existence and was strongly contested by the Southern states post-Civil War. The 14th Amendment came into existence to, you know, prevent slavery from becoming a thing again, and the Southern states hotly contested it because they wanted the right to write laws that made people slaves, not in so many words, but still did. This is exactly the same kind of scenario that is going on. It is a class of people that is being treated differently for a completely arbitrary reason.
Yeah. It goes on. There is no clear rule for deciding when a classification is unconstitutional. The Supreme Court has dictated the application of different tests depending on the type of classification and its effect on fundamental rights. Traditionally, the court finds a state classification constitutional if it has a rational basis to a legitimate state purpose. So, okay.
Rational to whom?
Exactly. Exactly. Rational to whom and legitimate in what way? Okay. The Supreme Court, however, has applied more stringent analysis in certain cases. It will strictly scrutinize, again, those in scare quotes there, a distinction when it embodies a suspect classification, again, scare quotes, in order for a classification to be subject to strict scrutiny. It must be shown that the state law or its administration is meant to discriminate. Okay, I think we might have something there. It's meant to discriminate. If you're only leaving out one classification of people.
Yeah, that's discrimination.
I would think that would be discrimination.
Especially when your justification for said discrimination comes from a book that says all people of X type are evil and must be destroyed.
Right.
It's like you really can't claim that you're being – what's the word I'm looking for? Impartial. You can't claim that. Mm-hmm. It's obvious for all to see.
The current arguments against allowing for marriage equality kind of revolve around, well, the research saying that homosexual couples don't cause harm to marriages and don't cause harm to childbearing and whatnot is all very new. I kind of disagree with that sentiment in that, you know, the argument that same-sex couples are harmful to have as parents and are, you know, harmful to marriages in general. Those were old standing things that have been thoroughly debunked.
Yet they make great appearance in the oral arguments.
They make great appearances.
They're all over the place.
They talk, and what's even more galling is they're talking about how marriage as this institution between one man and one woman has been something that's been status quo and standardized for thousands of years.
Millennia,
and it really has not been, even in the last 1,000 years, it is not between one man and one woman. It is not between one man and multiple women. It is between one man and slave. It's between all kinds, all manner of things have been done. And there's a sprocket.
That would be my cat. I'm just getting my cat out of my face because this podcast apparently needs cat butt. Uh-huh. Move along. Thank you.
This nothing. Podcast brought to you everything. By cat butt.
Yeah, nothing to sit on here. Move
Sniff
along.
One
move along.
Today.
Okay.
So no, let's not.
No. Please, no. So, the only thing here that they're really trying, that I think they were trying to get in from the strict right of the side of the bench, they were trying to do the slippery slope argument, where, oh well, if we grant, you know, marriage rights to homosexuals, then, well, what's to say that we should forbid it from a father and a daughter getting married, or brother and sister? Yeah. Yeah.
There's historical precedent for all three. Just saying.
Yes.
And just
biblical precedents for those three, yes.
But just to throw down some John Stewart here,
yeah.
I'm gonna go ahead and agree with him. I don't believe that same sex couples should have to answer for every other type of couple who might request the same rights after them.
I dig that. That is a fantastic argument.
That is not their job. That is not what they're on trial to do.
Yeah. Why is that a thing? Yeah. So of course, as the arguments proceed, the big deal is the state's right issue, that the state should have this authority. You know, beyond trying to protect the children from the nasty homosexuals and destroying the fundamental nature of what they classify as religion for millennia, even though they're completely wrong. Beside that point, they're trying to make it a state rights issue, and that may be the only thing that they can actually get to stick. But of course, in the Windsor decision just very recently, which is what has wedged it open for all these, let's see, what was the term? Activist judges to go ahead and strike down their little state constitutional bans on marriage equality. The thought was there and then it ran away. It'll come back.
These things happen.
It try to remember. You try to remember something, and you remember everything at once.
I just have to add in that most of these states that are fighting tooth and nail against this are states that you can still marry your first cousin.
Yeah.
Womp womp.
Yeah.
And yet, according to this same hyper religious stance of morality, that's supposed to be wrong. But the thing about this whole thing is that they're touting the 14th Amendment as saying that this gives us the right to do this, that it's a state's rights issue, when that amendment is exactly what doesn't allow them to do this. It was created for exactly this purpose.
Right.
The big
argument, the thing that'll kill it is with Windsor, my thought came back. With Windsor, it made the federal government recognized same-sex couples, marriages, for the purpose of federal benefits, federal marriage benefits, health benefits, retirement, all these things. So with that, it didn't matter what state they were in. So let's look at it again. Okay, so you have a couple that is recognized. There's one spouse that's in, say, the Air Force. Okay? And they marry in a state that has traditionally allowed it, for the last 11 years. Then they move to a state. Actually, they don't move. Let's rephrase. They are posted in another state.
Yeah, there's no choice here, people.
Yeah.
You're allowed to state your preferences when you get your orders. That's it.
Right. So now they're stuck in a state that doesn't allow them to technically be married. The state itself does not recognize the legal document that they hold that states that they are married. It recognizes that it is a legal document, but not the merit thereof.
Just doesn't seem right.
How much bullshit is that?
And it's a load of crap.
And that's the issue. And that's why the 14th Amendment is there, to protect that legal document from becoming just a coaster or a cocktail napkin from state to state to state. No, it is a nationally recognized thing by the federal government. Yeah, there are, and not just federal government, but there are states, individual states, that allow it. Therefore, it is a state document, a federal document.
Yeah, because guess what, Bible Belt red states? You are not your own little standalone nation. You're just not. You lost that war. Yeah, you lost that war hundreds of years ago. You are beholden to the will of the federal government. And just because you don't like it, what your next door neighbor is doing, well, guess what? Federal government says it's legal. You need to fucking obey. It's just, it's done. You lost that argument. It's in the Constitution. It was ratified centuries ago. Just suck it up and deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Follow the advice of the techno Viking. Obey.
Techno Viking. Nice.
Y'all need Odin.
Y'all need Odin? Nice. Okay. That's really all I had to say on it, other than, you know, I could go through and actually list, you know, several things that I found amusing about the judges. That initially when the arguments were being posted, there was a female attorney in there, and she was being stepped all over by the fundamentalist right judges. Just talked over, basically, and really condescended down to. And
as soon as, surprise anyone?
Yeah, not really, but I would hope that they'd be a little more professional about it.
They're conservative justices.
Yeah. And you know what? I did not notice until it was contrasted by the very next person. As soon as there was a male voice down at the other side of the bench, they were respectful and allowed them to continue their sentences. And I would not have noticed if they just kept stepping all over everybody. But that's not what they did. Not to the extent. Certainly, there were a couple things.
Women shouldn't read. They start getting ideas and thinking.
Right. Oh, yeah. My God.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
Right. So there you go. Hopefully.
Oh, the huge manity.
The huge manity? Nice. Oi. All right. I think that's about enough of the SCOTUS, unless you guys have something that you want to bring to the table that I missed.
All I really want to say is that for sure entertainment purposes, it's worth listening to some of these arguments, because if for the fundies, just where they get these ideas and that this somehow makes sense as, yeah, this is legit reasoning, I don't understand. I've listened to quite a few clips from quite a few different "quote unquote arguments," and I just have to laugh, because if not, I would cry.
Yeah, I was taking some notes on just some key points there. In the second part of the arguments, they finally really got down to, okay, what is the state's issue with this? Believe it or not,
icky.
No. It's it's not even that it's icky. It's that they want to preserve biological parenting.
Well, that falls apart really, really fast.
And it was picked apart like a vulture on roadkill.
I mean, if they wanted to preserve biological parenting, they should not allow divorce.
They shouldn't allow adoption.
And they shouldn't allow marriages to people over the age of 55.
Or people who can't conceive by... for any reason.
For medical reasons, yeah.
Or people that just don't fucking want to.
We can do this all day.
Exactly. Yeah.
There's a lot
of
exceptions.
Because biology is everything when it comes to being a parent.
Obviously.
We can smash your fundy logic all day, guys.
Yep, just actually, keep bringing it up.
Their but term could the be different.
Which
biological... Oh, go ahead.
God, go on. But these are the same people that are also against abortion. So
yeah,
if someone ends up not wanting the child that they are gifted by biology, where are they supposed to go if they're not supposed to?
Well, adoption.
If they need to be their biological parents.
Adoption is just a different kind of issue. And if you want to hear more about this, I've linked for the SoundCloud files. Just listen to part two and prepare to facepalm. That's all I can say. No. It is so insane. It truly is. It's absolutely insane. One of these days I probably should do an MST3K cut, you know, just of these arguments.
Oh, we could go on for days.
Yeah.
That'll be a fun drunk
cast. It actually really,
we should set that up.
That would be fun. Do a drunk cast on that?
Oh, yeah. That sounds like a good idea.
Wow. You know,
I just,
we'll have the logical fallacy drinking game.
Oh,
man, 40 minutes.
Every time you spot an ad hominem argument, drink. Oh,
it was like the first 5 minutes of the opening argument. And it's like, wait, that's the slippery slope. What the hell are you doing? And that's coming from one of the justices.
Yes.
And aren't we all biology anyways?
We are all biology.
You're all simply chemical processes wrapped in a sack of meat.
No, we're just, you know,
yes.
Brain matter driving a meat suit.
I like that. I like that. That's good.
Brain matter driving a meat suit.
This is my meat suit. There are many like it, but this one is mine.
Sir, do you classify as human?
No, I am a
meat popsicle.
Oh, my God. Okay, so on to the weird. I don't really have a whole lot of weird, just a quick note. Apparently, an artist has figured out a way to fix potholes in his city.
And it's really the best.
And all he has to do is take a can of spray paint and draw a giant dick over the area that the pothole is.
Someone finally using a dick for good.
Yes. Armed with a can of
water. Not just for evil anymore.
Okay. The thing is, I'm shocked that this was in England and not here in the States. Unless we do it in the States and nobody cares. Yeah.
Shocked that it was in England?
I am.
Really?
I am. Because I would figure that we'd have dicks on the street all over the place here already. Maybe that's the case. And we just don't care.
They never would be fixed here. They don't care.
That's probably
the
case.
Nudity and parts are not a huge deal over there. It's
right.
Just...
Apparently they're a huge enough deal to get the potholes fixed, though.
Maybe the dick just has to be huge enough.
Right.
And since it's being drawn out as a giant a giant phallus on the pavement, yeah, you know, that's the thing.
I read the article. I actually read this one thoroughly, unlike most of the articles I just skim.
This is the one you pick? This is the one you pick.
I wanted to hear, because there was in the very beginning it mentioned they talked to the guys, so I wanted to hear his rationale for it, and it was one of those things where simply by the virtue of having a little doodle over it, people noticed and therefore called. Whether they thought it was funny or whether they were offended, it didn't matter. It drew attention to the issue. And I would like to point out that if you actually go to this article and look at the pictures, they are just the sloppiest, like, crayon drawing little doodles ever.
Except for that. Except for the big red one.
Amazing.
The big red ones, though.
Except for the big red one.
They call him Wanksy. In honor of his wanker graffiti. Banksy, he is not, but they are obviously phallic.
But knowing Banksy, he probably at least gets a kick out of it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That guy, he's super chill.
Yeah. So armed with a can of washable spray paint, mind you. So this can all go away, and it will. In Greater Manchester, England, he embarked on a worthy cause to rid the region of potholes drawing penises on them. And that's really all I need to say anymore about, because that's just that fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Hats off to you, sir.
What else? You know, it brings to mind, what else can we do?
Ooh.
What else can we draw dicks around here in the United States that would get attention?
Can we not? There's enough.
There's enough?
I'm just going to throw out that there's a
let's get the right
some chick. I forget her Twitter handle, but she runs penis paths.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
On her Nike
Fitbit. Plus, yeah.
Didn't we cover that?
We,
like,
we covered
in
that
the show?
A while
yeah.
back. Yeah.
Yeah. We
and
covered,
I mean,
she
goes all out.
That was covered and smothered on one of our episodes. Yes, just like Waffle House.
Yeah. I mean, we could use that on a lot of things. Burnout lampposts. There's got to be a lot of things that city and towns
Detroit
would want to repair. Yeah,
we need to do this on Detroit.
Detroit.
Yeah. Detroit.
Just all of Detroit.
Fix
all of Detroit.
I think we're gonna need
more paint.
We'll
draw a penis on this, and we'll fix it.
We're gonna need more paint.
Yeah, we're gonna need Detroit a bigger paint can.
Oh god.
But having been through there, it could use it. It's like pockets of good surrounded by perfect, what do you call it? Cityscape for if you wanted to make a post-apocalyptic movie.
It's a dystopia. Yeah.
I would like to point out two things that I always like to mention when someone brings up Detroit. One, for the corporate-ruled, corruption-ridden future dystopia of the world of RoboCop, they picked Detroit. And in the classic SimCity 2000, when they had to set up scenarios for, hey, this city is in the shitter, we're going to give you 10 years and see if you can fix it, they picked two cities from Michigan, Detroit and Flint.
Oh, God, they did. Oh, they did. I forgot about Flint.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. Okay. Well, I think we're ready for something else. How about... Yeah. The good. Rapid fire. One of our favorite websites, I Fucking Love Science, has culled several stories that just got my attention. We have scientists turning pancreatic cancer cells back into normal cells. We have a new drug that may show a promising reverse of multiple sclerosis. And Audi is apparently making diesel out of water and carbon.
Carbon dioxide, yeah.
What the hell?
Super
this
sweet.
Awesome. This is an awesome, awesome time to be alive.
Well, just
yeah.
Oh, you know what we should also hit?
What?
NASA testing the EM engine in a vacuum and it works.
Oh, the thing that completely defies the laws of physics?
It defies the laws of physics.
Cool.
I know they tested it, but they were getting some weird results. I'm waiting to see. Like real, real, real good papers. I've seen odd papers on that one.
Those physics things. Those aren't laws. Those are just suggestions.
They're more what you call guidelines.
Well, I mean,
it's only a theory.
Have more than thoroughly broken Newtonian physics many times over, based on quantum computing, for instance.
Yeah, well, quantum computing breaks everything else. Because it's its own level. But Mike, you were trying to interject.
When you get down to the level of quantums, everything goes screwy. Where did you want to start, Andy? Because
let's go down the line.
Just in order. Okay.
In
so
order.
What's number one.
Pancreatic cancer cells.
Okay. On this, I'm by no means an expert in the subject matter, but I have made a study of genetics. It was biology was my major in college. Genetics was my field that I was pursuing. This is so huge because of what it takes to get a cancer cell to go wrong. The cell is a very delicate thing, and so is DNA, but it's got a lot of little self-repair things to make it stay normal. But the amount of things that all have to go wrong at once to make a cancer cell. Uncontrolled reproduction, the ability for it to still look like a healthy cell, all sorts of other things. And then to say you can take that and not eliminate it, but make it turn back to normal. They've basically, I really wanted to dig deep into this and figure out how they did it, because just from my basic understanding, they've rewritten entire cells' DNAs. How are they doing this?
I think they must have put it in the CRISPR.
It sounds like it.
There's a particular protein that they mentioned, actually. It wasn't the CRISPR. It's a different protein, but they basically insert this protein in the cell, and the effect is that the cell reverts.
Yeah, from the article, Quote, for the first time, we have shown that overexpression of a single gene can reduce the tumor-promoting potential of pancreatic adrenocarcinoma cells and reprogram them toward their original cell type. Thus, pancreatic, pancreatic cancer cells retain a genetic memory, which we hope to exploit.
Very cool.
It's like, okay, let's just go ahead and hit the reset button on all these cells over here. Kapunk! Back to normal.
Pretty much.
I don't know why it's Swedish, but
I don't know either. Is that Swedish? It could be.
Is
Swedish.
Is it the Swedish?
I don't know.
Hang on.
And now you've lost your Swedish. Swedish listeners.
This is my serious face. My serious face. Okay, back to normal. I did not.
Do you know their biggest complaint about the Swedish chef?
That he wasn't Swedish enough.
Dirt.
No, they sound Norwegian.
that's great. I love that.
Oh wow. Okay.
I can kind of see it.
Now, ladies and gentlemen of Internetlandia, I do not want to offend anyone, especially not the scientists that are figuring out how to reverse cancer. You guys are awesome, and feel free and come on the show and correct the accent that I somehow fell in for no particular reason whatsoever. Come on down. It'd be awesome if you would. Okay, so that's that one. Now we're on to multiple sclerosis.
So this is a drug that repairs the myelin sheath?
Myelin sheath, yes. Multiple sclerosis, It has to do with neuron misfires because, like any electrical circuit, neurons have insulation. And when that insulation is called the myelin sheath, and when it wears off, all sorts of weird stuff starts happening.
Imagine, the network cable that you have behind your TV that's delivering all of your cable signals, all those thousands of channels upon thousands of other data cells and things like that. Imagine that your cat goes back there and starts nibbling on it. And then all of a sudden all the insulation on that cable starts to go away and get dissolved by the stomach lining of the cat. And then eventually they hit copper. You might end up losing some channels.
You definitely end up losing some channels. And this is a great metaphor for it.
Analogy.
Analogy. There you go. It's a great analogy for it. It's exactly the same kind of thing. And other things go wrong with similar processes like Parkinson's and all that nonsense. And the trick about this is that while neurons are still capable of growing, the myth that once you're an adult, neurons never regrow is wrong. Your body actually inhibits them from regrowing because if your body crosses the wires wrong, then it goes even more to hell than it was when it was just damaged. So just the fact that we can sort of circumvent this process and get things to start regrowing is really cool.
Yeah, it ends up being kind of a self protection that we don't have the constant replication, because bad replication turns into cancer.
Yeah.
So
and
yeah. Which one do you want? Do you want the nerves to continue to grow, or do you want to have more and more cancer in your brain?
Yeah, this is especially true of like spinal injuries, you know, because neurons can regrow, but the spinal cord never does. Well, a doctor actually explained it to me this way. He's like, would you rather have partial or total loss of function in your legs, or have it regrow and be so rewired that when you try to scratch your nose, you end up kicking yourself in the ass? You know, because it can just be that screwed up. So it's right. Self-defense, and it's so effective that for a long time we didn't even think neurons regrew. So,
yeah, of course, that we have also shown that our brains still remain very plastic in the way that they can relearn different things, like like the partial amputees or the full amputees wearing the vests that have, you know, little sensors on like muscle groups in their chest, they then learn to use those muscles that have absolutely nothing to do with things like closing a hand. They learn to tweak them just enough to actually do that as a second nature with a new prosthesis. So
yeah, and
our brains are really amazingly capable of relearning how to do everything.
But only when they're healthy. And this is a case of getting, you know, damaged neurons, getting back to healthy, which is
amazing.
It really is a kind of holy grail of science.
And this is getting back into, I mean, from this, they probably can go into repairing further other types of brain damage, even actual brain damage from accidents and stuff. If they can do this, then they probably can go further that much easier.
Well, if you go and read the article, it basically the medication stimulates the production of stem cells, which can...
Stem cells!
Why are we funding this?
Yeah, why aren't we funding
this? Why? Because people think that stem cells only come from embryos or babies or whatever.
And that's a lie.
They are present in full-grown adults.
You know, amazingly enough, though, thank you to all of those religious bigots out there. Because since you did that, since you made us stop the easy sell, getting the low-hanging fruit of, you know, getting the aborted fetuses that had, you know, completely viable stem cells still available, instead of doing that, no, we've had to look in other places to find them. So thank you for making us be more diverse in that way.
Yeah.
Now shut up.
And we found them, and we found them in our brainstem, we found them in our bone marrow, we found them in our sex organs, all sorts of places where they're just sort of hanging out in small quantities.
Yeah.
Well, even in urine. They've created processes for reverting skin cells to stem cells.
Yeah.
In some cases.
Yes. Yeah. And they can make an airbrush gun with it, and second and third degree burns are literally healed over a weekend.
They just paint it over.
Why?
Minor discoloration.
What?
I mean, like,
I hadn't seen that.
Why aren't we funding it?
Yeah.
We are funding
why
it.
Why aren't we funding this?
Like, it's literally an airbrush gun. Doctor takes a piece of skin from, like, your hip or something, gets the stem cells, makes the little solution, loads it basically into an airbrush gun, spray it over the area. The video I watched, the guy was in some sort of, bonfire accident. Second and third degree burns from, like, here to here.
The entire upper portion of his arm.
Yeah. Here is.
Yeah, remember we're audio
like,
too.
Here
yeah,
to here, so. Shoulder to elbow.
Yeah, it was a big burn.
He was pale. Like there was a line because it hadn't seen that skin hadn't seen the sun yet.
You could
had a farmer's tan.
Yeah, you could clearly see the treatment, but there were no skin grafts. It took
there
a matter
was
of days.
Scarring,
yeah.
Nothing.
Wow.
Dude still had freckles like the rest of his arm.
Yeah, the freckles grew back.
Hello?
Like, imagine what this could do. Well, imagine the money just in the anti-aging
industry. You know, just all you had to go for.
Acid burns for
everything. Just burn victims. That's all you had to say.
Yeah.
And that's enough.
Yeah.
Because no one in the medical industry gets more sympathy than burn victims. That's a cash cow waiting to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Just, yeah. Go look that up.
Blew my mind.
Wow.
No, as soon as I heard it was an airbrush gun, I went nuts because that's one of my favorite things to use while I'm personally doing makeup. And it's just an airbrush gun used medically. And burn healed literally over the weekend.
Well, from that holy grail, let's go to the next holy grail, which apparently is turning water into gas.
Oh, man, I thought you were going to say wine.
that's what you need the grail for.
We already do that.
That's what you need the grail for, right? Go ahead, Mike.
Right? This is just one of those examples of my favorite... My favorite thing in science ever, summary of organic chemistry. Carbon is a whore.
Yes.
And it just wants to be friends.
And it's everybody. It's just proof that all of these things, which, you know, the people who own it all and are trying to sell it to you want you to believe is this magical rare substance that you can't get anywhere but from them, is that it's just like everything else in the world. Most things are composed of the three same basic atoms. It's hydrogen, oxygen, and carbon. And with a little bit of chemistry magic, we can do – well, we can't quite do – we can do alchemy. That's not what I'm going at. But the idea of just turning something into something else, it's just – it's easy and we can do it. And the more we look into it, the more efficient it gets, the more this whole scarcity problem becomes less of a problem. And these people, like the oil barons out there, can no longer – hold us by the nads and say, give us your money or your entire world falls apart.
Yeah, I mean, we've had lots of companies, as the article states, that have been using vegetable oil, algae, microbes found in panda poop, you know, turning bamboo into fuel, all these things. I mean, there's a plethora of these companies out there that are doing it because of how profitable it will be, because everybody wants cleaner fuel and more abundant fuel, and we want to get out from under the thumb of, say, Saudi Arabia. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
OPEC can just go away.
Yeah. I'm behind the bamboo. That sounds... Imagine just having a little bamboo garden, like, just in your backyard.
But then we need a panda to poop on it. I mean, so there's give and take there. Yeah,
well, I mean, back...
But pandas!
Back to the original thing about biodiesel, and they said that, like, corn, whatever, corn was one-to-one, basically... of energy to mass or something like that. I mean, something as simple as Florida switchgrass was 10-to-1, yet they couldn't do it because they hadn't figured out the right process to turn it into diesel.
And of course, hemp would be a fantastic fuel as well. But of course, we're not allowed to do that either.
Probably one pound of hemp would be 10 million gallons of fuel.
Oh, that's a little bit hyperbolistic, isn't it?
And it'll cure cancer.
And it will cure cancer. Yeah, blah, blah, blah.
If you ever listen to the real pro-hemp people, apparently this stuff is like, it'll do everything.
It is nectar of Zeus himself.
I'm pro-hemp. I'm pro-hemp.
Oh, yeah.
Seriously, you got to be a little more realistic, people. I mean, it's...
Sure. It's good for making paper, which was ironically one of the reasons it was banned in the first place, because the paper lobby did not want to. Was it fir trees that they used for paper?
I think it was fir. Yeah,
they did not want the competition from hemp growers.
Hemp makes better fabric than cotton. I mean, it makes a strong building material when mixed with other materials for, say, like clay huts and things like that, when it was initially found out that you could do this with it, you know, making those cob huts and things like that. It was insanely good.
It is a very useful plant.
Yeah. It's like paper mache, only 10 times as strong.
It's like paper mache if you were building it with fiberglass.
Yeah.
That kind of thing, you know?
Like doubles or triples the strength of concrete. I mean, common building material. Imagine the height of buildings that they could reach if they could strengthen concrete.
And it would be a carbon negative product because you're putting that carbon sequestered in the hemp into the building material.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's why aren't we funding this? Totally.
LEED certified.
Yeah. It's amazingly useful. It's not a cancer cure.
No.
But it is amazingly useful.
You know what? It might be a cancer cure if you approve its production.
It's a fantastic pain medication, but it's not a cancer cure.
To the best of our knowledge. Well, no, that's not true. That's not true. Just like in the marijuana plant, it contains that chemical, which is clinically proven to inhibit cancer cell growth, which while not a cure, it's not a cure for, you know, getting rid of cancer altogether, but it is a cure for the thing we call cancer, of a malignant attack on the body.
It'll buy time.
Yeah. If you can get the tumor to stop growing, it stops being cancer. It's just a tumor, and then you cut it out. To me, that's a cure. I mean,
except for those cancers that you can't, and then it's just, you know, here, have some more of this magic elixir that keeps you alive.
Yeah.
But really, with just think back to AIDS. Not that we needed to talk about hemp at this point, but, you know, think back to the AIDS epidemic, and it was just a death sentence. But as time progressed, those with the money to devote to the science, they stayed alive. They bought themselves time. They bought themselves so much time that AIDS is essentially cured.
Magic Johnson.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what we're talking about here, in my opinion, is that we're just buying time so that the real cure can happen. So please bring it on. Let them study it. Let them test it. Let them go apeshit with it. Let them do it and see what happens. It'll only buy us more time. As long as we don't have Dr. Oz try to hawk it on his program and then think that it's a magic cure, a miracle for everything. Anyway, that's another story. Did you see that Oprah and her Harpo Productions basically dropped him?
Well, about frickin' time. Yeah. She is just famous for peddling snake oil salesmen.
Yeah, she is. But, you know.
But at least she wised up on this front.
It took time, but yeah. So, okay. This week, the German car manufacturer Audi has declared that they have been able to create an e-diesel, or diesel-containing ethanol, by using renewable energy to produce a liquid fuel from nothing more than water and carbon dioxide. After a commissioning phase of just 4 months, the plant in Dresden, operated by clean tech company Sunfire, has managed to produce its first batch of what they're calling blue crude. I kind of like that. The product liquid is composed of long-chain hydrocarbon compounds similar to fossil fuels, but free from sulfur and aromatics, and therefore burns soot-free.
Wow.
Sweet.
So not only is it diesel, but you don't have the rolling coal effect.
Yeah. It's clean diesel.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah. Because nothing says screw everyone else than having that big diesel truck that's just a smokestack.
Rolling coal.
The rolling coal. God. And saying, yeah.
Those guys,
screw you, hybrids. Bye-bye.
Go on, Jess.
But now they're gonna have to add that smoke to those so people can do that anyways.
They'll just put logs in the back and just burn
diesel.
The dudes who do rolling coal, they spend like thousands of dollars adding injectors into their exhaust for the sole purpose of burning dirty
of making it as ugly
in their exhaust pipe to get that smoke effect.
They should all be arrested.
Yeah, that should be criminal.
That should be criminal. In these days, that should be criminal.
That's just polluting for the sake of polluting.
They should get the same kind of citation that you'd get if you lit a stack of tires on fire, which is also illegal.
Or if you're littering.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything. They are
intentionally littering their environment.
I'm sorry, you are in EPA violation. We're going to have to shut down your power grid. Okay. So speaking of power grid.
Aha!
Ah, I didn't even actually intend that one, and I have a cat. Bye, cat.
Hi, cat.
Okay.
All
bye, Sprocket.
Right.
Bye, Sprocket.
Okay, so Tesla has announced today the Tesla Powerwall, which is a home battery. It's a home battery, which is...
You have my attention.
I'm not sure how this is going to work exactly. I think the theory here is, okay, you get a big, good battery that maybe can contain, say, 10 kilowatts. Okay, so it's a big home UPS, essentially. Those of you that are out in the IT industry know what I'm talking about here. You got a building-sized battery backup that you can run things on until, like, a generator kicks on or anything like that. In the idea here for sustainable energy, one, you'd have... hopefully you've got some alternative energy like solar panels or wind or geothermal or who knows, anything that you can think of delivering power into these cells when they can, removing some of your dependence on the power grid. Now the power grid, it runs in hot cycles and cold cycles where you've got a high demand and you've got a lower demand, peak and off peak. Off-peak power is cheaper. Peak power is rather expensive. That's when everybody needs it, and that's when they have to have their generators at full, or they have to bring on more generators online to bring up demand, to meet demand. If you can store the power that is available in off-peak hours in a battery system and then use it in peak hours, you then remove the dependence on the grid, and you use cheaper power through the day, saving yourself money and removing the dependence, the demand during the peak hours, making it also easier on everyone else. So if everybody buys into this, And that way everybody is leveling out the playing field. Basically, it, you know, I know, never is that going to happen, right?
No.
If only.
If
in
only.
An ideal universe.
In an ideal community. Let's take an ideal community, okay?
All right.
One that has been built by a developer that has mandated this is the way all these houses are going to be.
Cool.
You know, some communal thing, hopefully without guns. Okay.
They've tried it before.
Yeah. There are these communities out there. And they all have one of these Tesla home battery power wall systems. And the entire community then buys power from the grid on that off peak, saving themselves money. Say it's like, I don't know, a dollar cheaper per kilowatt hour or something. Yeah, you know, that adds up. So this entire community ends up saving maybe the entire cost of the system over 2 years, maybe. All of that, it pays for itself in 2 years, and then they're just continuing to save more and more money.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a great thing, wouldn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, except, you know, they may outlaw it. Just like they outlawed living off the grid here in Florida.
Well, yeah, because here's the thing.
Because again, the oil barons don't want you to be not paying them.
That's an interesting scenario. It's not that they outlawed being off the grid entirely. They outlawed being in an area and not being registered into the system at all. So you can be on the system and not use anything and you're legal. That's perfectly fine. But
that is totally not how it's actually being used in practice, though.
I know. Nope. I know it's not. But that's the way technically it reads. So in this system, imagine all of those houses are also feeding back into a community grid. So all of these houses have stored up energy. And through smart meters, they feed it back into the demand that's necessary. Because your house isn't using the 10 kilowatt hours, 10,000 kilowatt hours or whatever. So it feeds back in. So in this system, you don't want to be off grid. Not entirely. You want to have the grid so that you can pull the power out of the grid when it's cheapest and then use it off grid when it's the most expensive.
No, this is a great idea. I just, as soon as it starts to try to go public, the oil barons are going to try to quash it because they don't want people with cheap power. They don't want people who are not dependent on them.
As soon as Elon Musk announced this, the stock price of Tesla went up $5 a share.
Mm-hmm. There's demand.
Yeah.
Of course there's demand because people are tired of being dicked over by big oil.
Yeah. The growing trend is, you know, we've got to do something about this. And it's gaining slow momentum, which makes me feel really good about it because it's like, you know, once this thing really gets rolling, they're just not going to be, there will not be enough lobby money in the world to stop this.
Slow momentum is always
here today, gone tomorrow. It's going to keep rolling.
Yeah. Now, for the geeks out there, the specs of the Tesla home thing here. Okay. It's wall mounted. It's a rechargeable lithium ion battery with a liquid thermal control. There are two models currently in development, a 10 kilowatt hour and a 7 kilowatt hour. The 10 is $3,500, and it's for backup applications. So it would be something that would back up your entire home.
Cost to dealers. Just
of course. Cost to dealers. There's going to be installation fees and then transfer kits and all these other, you know, add-on components that are going to be necessary, of course. But there's also a 7 kilowatt hour that's $3,000, so another $500 off that. And that's for the daily cycle operation where you're pulling from the cheap power and using it when it's not so cheap. There's a 10-year warranty on these batteries.
Hmm.
10 years on the batteries.
That's awesome.
As much as you can add an AC.
That's significant. A long warranty.
That's significant.
Battery?
Yeah.
I mean, this would be, if nothing else, this would be a good home UPS.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, in Florida, to kill the spikes, to get rid of the spikes God. And dropouts that we get.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Dude, what, from Florida Flash and Flicker? No.
Florida has the shittiest power grid I've ever seen in my goddamn life. I've lived all over the country. Florida's power grid is absolutely the worst.
It's pretty
For
bad,
no yeah. other reason than to stop that shit from happening, I want one of these things.
Yep. Voltages from 350 to 450 volts, a 2,000 watt continuous or 3,300 watt peak. Efficiency. Yeah, Mike. Efficiency. 92% round trip DC efficiency.
You're shitting me.
92%.
That's damn impressive.
You're shitting me. That's ridiculous.
That's in the tech specs. Direct from them.
Wow. Where are the specs? I need to look at this.
TeslaMotors.com/Powerwall.
That I might be in the first, like, first few months.
It's big.
It's
okay.
About the size.
No, I've got dimensions. Dimensions. Okay. It is in width. It is 33.9 inches wide, so 34 inches, yeah. So a little under 3 feet. Mm-hmm. It is 51.2 inches tall.
So four foot something.
Yeah. And only a little more than 7 inches deep off a wall.
Wow.
I could fit this in my living room.
It is rated for indoor or outdoor use for installation.
It's actually very decorative. You could put it in your living room. It actually be quite trendy.
Yeah, exactly. Especially if the Tesla logo lit up, kind of like the Apple logo. That would be nice.
Oh, yeah.
Like that'd be cool.
Yeah.
They have a red picture on this site. They have a picture that's red, and it does look like the Tesla logo is lit up a little bit.
Nice.
With a few little blue LEDs above it.
Oh, of course.
It is compatible with single phase and three phase for utility grid capabilities. It does, of course, require trained technicians to install. Amazingly enough, here's the number that I can't believe, because I've installed building size UPSs. Okay? And they're insane. Mm-hmm. Weight, 220 pounds.
Ooh, that's nothing.
That's absolutely nothing.
That's like
I'm
paper.
Hoping, it's like, wait. That's got to just be the kit. That can't be the batteries, I'm thinking. That can't be the batteries, but I don't know. Maybe not.
I've had rack-mounted UPSs that were heavier than that.
I have one like behind me.
Are far lighter right than other battery technologies.
Yeah, it's insane.
That it's weighs insane. Less than I do. That's just weighs less than I do.
Well, it weighs less than I do too. So I can say that. Yeah, it's
it weighs less than I used to.
There you go. That works.
It's coming pretty colors.
That works. Yeah. So this is, it's amazing. And they're touting that they're going to have an entire lineup for different industries, including home. And of course, this is also designed so that you can plug your freaking Tesla into it.
Yeah. They're planning for the future. Like
absolutely.
The superchargers that they're putting at all the rest stops.
Right.
They're planning for the future. They're doing it now. He's putting out the money now.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to be a home name. They're going to be the name that you go to for everything.
Yeah, it used to be PowerWare or Mitsubishi for your UPS needs for buildings and things like that. Now it's just going to be Tesla.
Yeah, no, fuck those guys. Tesla.
Your cars,
what's interesting,
UPSs, yeah.
What's interesting to me about this is the what they seem to be going for a model is I always thought that we'd see the day where and there's a company that's got a device doing this where we'd see distributed power generation, where you'd have a generator essentially in every home. So they wouldn't have to be hooked to the grid. You'd just have power all the time. With this, you could have distribute the grid far better so that if everybody's got a battery, even if all the lines to the neighborhood are knocked out, the neighborhood can keep going through the outage.
Yeah, you have a distributed grid without having, you know, big
without distributed generation.
Yeah.
And because it's batteries and not generators, there's no noise, there's no pollution. You know, it's pretty beautiful setup.
It's really impressive. Amazing. This is as much a game changer as just their cars.
Yeah.
I mean, really.
Yeah. I can't wait to get one of those. It'll be the first new car I buy. If I ever buy a new car, it'll be a Tesla.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Well, right now they're $70,000.
Yeah. That's why we're going to wait.
But they were trying to come out with a model that was in the $30,000.
In a couple years, it's going to. Mm-hmm. Oh, I saw this today. Guess who else is toying with the idea of getting into the electric car market?
Apple?
Well, certainly Apple, and all of them technically have a hybrid because the government makes them do a hybrid. But this is a company that doesn't make cars yet, and I'm not talking about Apple.
Google wants to.
Well, there's this guy, Richard Branson.
Ooh, Virgin?
Yes.
Richard Branson does everything.
Yes.
He's a little bit of a crackpot eccentric.
He's basically
doing it right.
Another Elon Musk.
Yeah.
Essentially.
He's been doing it a little longer, but yeah.
If you see the Virgin anything, Virgin Galactic, Virgin Mobile, you know, all of these things are his baby. He actually has a Virgin Racing team. Mm-hmm. And apparently there's a race for electric vehicles.
Oh yeah.
And he has a dog in that race, and he went on the record saying, yeah, I'm thinking about making an electric car.
I
something
swear
for about $35,000.
I swear this guy must just roll out of bed in the morning and be like, what crazy venture I'm gonna do today, and just like throw darts at a wall, you know?
He is the Elwoods of venture capitalists.
I think I'm gonna make an electric car today.
Yeah, let's just do that.
I think I'll go to law school.
Why not? That'll be great.
That sounds good, honey. Let me know when you're done.
So it's an amazing time to be alive.
It is.
In a couple years, you know, as Tesla continues to build, they will have that $35,000 price point for the electric car, and it's going to have the same stuff that is in their $70,000 premium vehicles, because all it is a software update. And this summer, the software update that's going to be hitting Tesla is going to be the automatic driving on freeways update.
I can dig that after having done a long drive.
Yep.
What was that, Jess?
I don't know if that'll work here in Orlando, because...
Well, part of that is also the automatic braking. If the car detects that there's a vehicle in front of it that is stopped.
Yeah.
And that is completely necessary on I-4.
Yes.
Oh my God.
I-4, 408.
I-4 is like something out of a Mad Max movie.
Speaking of Mad Max.
It's Law of the Jungle.
I remember the Road Warrior.
I remember.
Have you guys seen the trailer for the new Mad Max?
Oh,
Fury
God.
Road looks insane. Mm-hmm.
It certainly looks like something.
Oh, so that's coming out May 15th. I gotta go watch
Today's
that.
A lovely day for a drive.
Yes, yeah, it's a lovely, lovely day. That's fantastic. So yeah, that's gonna be. I'm gonna see that in 2 weeks. All right. Gotta see that. Okay.
Get that on your Plex server.
maybe later after it comes out legally, of course.
Yeah. Sure.
Nudge, nudge. All right. So now we're into.
I swear I'm going to get a black hat for that segment.
Should,
I promise.
You should, or maybe for the ugly.
You have one.
Yes.
Okay. So I saw this. This popped up on one of those cop block pages. You know, trying to level the playing field, and. It is very, very skewed, of course, to the cop is the bad guy, the cop is the bad guy, he's arrogant, he's bullheaded, he's all these things. Unfortunately, they're kind of right. Okay. Let me set the scene, if you will. Okay. A Republic, trash vehicle, you know, a big garbage truck. Runs into the back of a gas truck, of a tractor trailer rig, reportedly carrying 9,000 gallons of fuel. He does that at 45 miles an hour. Okay? So then, who is called to this scene? Everybody, right? Especially the fire department.
It should be.
So the fire chief was in a grocery store in his personal vehicle, and he got the call on his radio, and knowing how urgent it was, he jumped in his personal truck and put out, he has the like little mini emergency lights, and he put them up on his truck, and he has even gone as far as having a siren installed on his vehicle. So he is 15 miles away, and he starts hauling butt, as you're supposed to do, being in the position that he is, trying to get to the scene and make sure that there's nobody going to die or cause this 9,000 gallons of gas to erupt into a giant fireball and kill everybody.
Because that would be bad.
That would be a bad thing. We don't want that. So apparently, as he's rushing to the scene of an emergency, a police officer in Wentworth, not sure exactly where it is. We're dealing with two cities here, Wentworth and Rincon. I'm not sure exactly where they are, but they all have southern accents. The police officer did not seem to understand that it was a valid emergency vehicle that was rushing in and out of traffic trying to get to make way. He even heard the siren and thought that that was illegal too, and began a pursuit, a hot pursuit, if you will, of the fire chief. And then, upon arriving at the scene where the fire chief is engaged in the activity, he's coming out, and available on the chest body cam is the narrative of him saying, "I'm going to arrest him. Where is he? Whose truck is that? That's the fire chief. Where is he? Because I got to arrest him."
You just heard somebody tell you he was the fire chief. He's a first responder. He has the authority to do exactly what you were doing, going lights and sirens and cutting through traffic. Fuck you, you monumental asshole.
And the police officer got on his PA and was telling him to pull over. He didn't hear it because he's got his own siren on, you know, as he's going to the scene, and he couldn't see the placards on the side of the car, and he thought that they were going to the same place for the same incident. So he thought he was on his team. So why would he stop?
Exactly.
Three tickets. He's gotten three tickets over this.
Interesting. It'll be interesting to see how this plays out.
He was given tickets for reckless driving, failure to exercise due care, and failure to yield to an emergency vehicle.
He was an emergency vehicle.
Yeah. You don't have to yield to an emergency vehicle if you are one, jerk.
I mean, his vehicle, it may be his personal vehicle, but it is loaded up.
It is fully
loaded with lights.
One of the officers from Rincon actually said, "Yeah, it's registered. It's legit."
Pointing
to his truck. It's like, he's legit.
Better get tossed.
Well, there's dash cam. Follow the link. There's dash cam video. There's video of the officer approaching the scene, and you can see the scene. It's a big deal. Fortunately, it was only hydraulic fluid that actually escaped the vehicle, and it was not gasoline causing a giant
explosion. Me is that this guy had to at that point have registered. Or who is this guy? It's the fire chief. Well, he's fixing to go to jail when all this is done.
Yeah, that's what he said. That is what he said.
Yeah, I'm like, are you serious right now?
Yeah.
Are you serious right now?
Yeah, everybody else is like, yeah, okay, buddy. Sure. Uh-huh.
How are you that thick?
Amazingly thick.
I don't know how interdepartmental stuff works a whole lot, but the way I understand it from knowing a cop is that among first responders, there is some respect of the chain of command in the next department. That guy's the fire chief. He outranks you.
It's right? It's an interesting narrative if you've got the time to watch the train wreck that this is, because then there's also a video, like a 17-minute video, of them giving him the tickets from the same officer from his body cam.
Yeah, we've touched on it. How can you be this thick? There's a maximum IQ allowed for being a police officer. That's how you can be that thick. You know,
at this point,
let's just face it. if you're going to cap out your intelligence level for people doing their beat duties, you're not going to get the maximum potential that you can because you cut them off.
And you're going to get morons like this.
As a quote, what we do know is that a major incident involving a tanker carrying approximately 9,000 gallons of gas was rear-ended by a trash truck at approximately 45 miles per hour, Rincon City Manager Wesley Corbett told Savannah Now. The trucks were fused together, and an individual was trapped in the truck in critical condition. There was a tremendous potential for escalation of damage to person and property. I have no doubt of the importance of his presence at the scene and that his leadership was vital to safely defuse a potentially explosive and life-threatening accident.
Now here's my question. Mm-hmm. Could the family of who, whatever poor person is trapped in this particular collision, if they sustain any further injury or, God forbid, die, I'm wondering if that family could sue the police department for
obstruction.
Oh, they absolutely should.
Mm-hmm. And, well, they could. Voluntary manslaughter.
They could.
They could if he was stopped before he got there. But this fire chief doing his job didn't listen to the sirens behind him and went to the accident and did his job.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I'm not 100% on this. I'm not in law enforcement, but I am pretty sure that even if he's just on the scene being interfered with, you could still get in huge trouble because obstruction, you know, it's just a thing.
Yeah. Well, there were other police officers at the scene and they looked like, They were certainly standing up for their fire chief. They were not going to have anything about it. It was to the point there was a, you know, I watched the whole thing because I couldn't stop. I should have popped some popcorn for it, really.
Right.
But one of the other officers basically said, look, I understand law is the law and you got to do what you got to do. But, you know.
You know, but you know, you're being an idiot.
And just kind of gave him the officer to officer, like, you better get out of here right now.
Yeah.
This is probably a career ending move because the next phone call is going to be chief to chief.
I
have a problem.
When they gave the ticket, it was not just the officer to the police, to the fire chief. There was also like the chief of police, the supervisor of the watch there behind the desk too. So this was done behind closed doors in his office at the police station where they called him into. And it was a very tense kind of situation because the fire chief and that officer behind the desk, they knew each other.
Well, of course.
Oh, yeah.
So it was very much a look. And actually, I think hands did go up in the air. Like, look, I just have to do this. This is the paperwork. This is what I have to do. I'm not saying that you're guilty, but I have to go with my guy and say, and keep up with what's going on.
Yeah, in that case, that is a situation where the police chief's hands are tied. His subordinate filed a report. As long as he files the report properly and he does have probable cause, whether or not it turns out on further examination that cause does not exist, that they still have to support the report, and that is a thing that is true. We know from knowing a cop that. Yeah. If the report is filed and everything's above board, they have to pursue it.
Yeah. It gets only slightly more interesting when you consider that the police officer apparently did call in to see whether or not there were responders en route. And
he was ignored.
No, he wasn't ignored. He was told that one, we don't have any record of it, and two, we are too busy to reply.
Well,
that happens.
Yeah.
They're too busy to reply because there's too much going on.
Right.
Because there's a big accident and every responder is going to it.
Yeah, very two. Possible.
There's two. Because they thought they were on the way to the same thing. And they weren't. There was two.
Oh, there were more than that.
At least.
Yeah. There were more than that.
Just say it.
But apparently this also ends up being an interdepartmental issue across across county lines.
Oh, God.
So, yeah, so the Rincon is in another county. And this city that pursued him crossed county lines to find him.
They can't do that.
Well, yeah.
The laws were broken inside their jurisdiction.
They can and they can't. It's jurisdictional law is
it's
just a
douchey
mess.
Is what it is.
Again, we know a cop. We know how much of a nightmare it is. But this is starting to sound like, at least on the part of this arresting officer, of it's just a dick swinging contest. And dude, put it back in your pants. You're all on the same side. What are you doing?
Well, there's historically a lot of tension between police and fire forces.
And I don't understand why they're on the same side.
Installing computers in police vehicles. I've been in their ready room where they're talking about the fire department and going, yeah, there are a bunch of prima donnas and blah, blah, blah. And they don't like each other.
All they're doing is in there pumping iron, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, all that fun stuff.
They sure as hell
they need
get
to.
Those bodies by Krispy Kremes all day and
blam.
Hitting
hitting right there on that extra notch on the belt.
I wish our police forces were required to be able to do a fireman's carry.
Right?
I'm surprised.
A lot of officers couldn't.
I'm really surprised that they're not. Yeah. I'm surprised they're not. They should.
Our friend refused to eat donuts. Like, he hasn't eaten donuts in 6 years because he is a cop. He absolutely refuses.
Yeah, because he hates
donut
that joke.
Every day.
Man, there's some really good donuts.
Sucks for him, man. More donuts for me.
Maple bacon donuts out of the Love Bugs Bakery down in Melbourne. You should check them out.
So speaking of things that we love, anyway. I think everyone here likes Planned Parenthood.
They do good work.
Can we agree with that they do good work and it's not just about
abortions? Believe that
I
you should plan for your children. So yeah,
this is my happy dance for Planned Parenthood.
I love that happy dance for Planned Parenthood. Excellent.
Yep.
So Jeb Bush, former governor.
Bush.
Yes. Former governor of Florida. And also presidential hopeful for 2016. He supports efforts to defund Planned Parenthood, according to one of his senior advisors.
Of course he does.
Yeah. Yes. Jordan Skidlow, a prominent Christian evangelical attorney and joined the former Florida governor's team last month as a senior advisor. He spoke Saturday at the Faith and Freedom Summit in Iowa, where 9 presidential hopefuls appealed to the group of conservatives in attendance. Bush, who is exploring a run and widely expected to jump into the field, skipped the event and sent Skidlow instead, which is interesting. Quote, "We have got to defund Planned Parenthood, by the way, and Governor Bush supports those efforts," said Skidlow to the applause from the crowd. Generally, legislating targeting Planned Parenthood prevents federal money from going to I must have missed a comma here. Okay. Let's reread this. Generally, legislation targeting Planned Parenthood prevents federal money from going to the family planning providers' clinics until it can certify that it no longer offers abortions, even though Planned Parenthood only uses federal money for non-abortion services, which, by the way, is like, I don't know, maybe 5% of their overall things.
Less than that, 3%.
You looked it up?
Yes.
3% of their services go to actual abortions.
There you go. Go ahead, Mike.
I found an article on this very subject. I was going to submit it to the show notes, then I figured I would just bring it up now. A similar thing by, again, GOP lawmakers wanting to defund a similar program in Colorado. On this particular article, if you chase the link, there are no statistics on, you know, what exactly is going on in Planned Parenthood. But in Colorado here, this program, this to give you an idea of what these programs are actually accomplishing. The program in Colorado is called the Colorado Family Planning Initiative. And over like a 10-year period, I think, it has saved the state for $42.5 million by reducing teen pregnancies by 40% and reducing abortions by 35%. So these programs, not only do they not condone abortion, they reduce the incidence of abortion by teaching people to have safe sex so they don't get pregnant in the first place. So in any way you look at it, any way you look at it, conservative lawmakers, abortion is evil and you want to get rid of it. Well, these programs stop abortion from happening. What the fuck is your malfunction?
What's more evil, the abortion or a condom?
Right.
Yes.
No, thank you, Jess. That doesn't IUD. Work. Pick one.
It's the pick IUD one. At this point, because yeah. Which I, you know,
scary, okay?
Ridiculous. They're the most
scary.
I've never seen an IUD. To be fair,
they're terrible. But
as far as all the birth controls go, they are the single most effective. With something like the rate of failure, I think, is under 2%.
Yeah, the rate of failure is tiny.
They're still scary.
Tiny.
Yeah.
They're scary, but it's once every 7 years instead of all the time.
Well, 5 to 7.
Five, yeah.
Five to seven.
Your mileage may vary.
Your mileage may vary.
That in more than one way.
Biology.
In more than one way.
But actually, if you also look deeper into those statistics, not only did the rates of teen pregnancy go down and such, but also early detection of cervical cancer went up. Which is good.
Yes.
Early detection is good.
Absolutely. I don't think that anybody could possibly argue with that.
I don't understand why. Either they're scared of vaginas or they hate them. Women should be together, they're either scared or hate them or both.
Yes.
They hate them because they're scared of them. And I still am not over the person that holds any sort of government seat that thinks a woman can swallow a camera. Like, swallow a camera so they can do
down her esophagus. Yeah, down her esophagus.
That's one of the funniest ones.
And it was fascinating to find out they weren't connected.
It's another one of those, and you heard that where? C-SPAN. Oh, shit.
No wonder you're all fucked up.
Yeah. So, speaking of C-SPAN, Paul Ryan. We know him. He's another one of those presidential hopeful.
Uh-huh.
Here's the line. Free school lunches. What do you think? What? Just panel. What do you think? Free school lunches do what?
I've already read it.
They
so
feed hungry children.
Free school lunches. But let's bring it full circle. Free school lunches lead to teen pregnancy and abortion.
Nice. Nice. Okay. I think that wins. Okay. Paul Ryan says that free lunches provided to children by government programs give kids, quote, a full stomach and an empty soul.
Yep, that's what's emptying their souls out.
What was that, Don?
Share why. I want to know his reasoning. There has to be something behind this.
No, there doesn't.
There is school pizza. I mean, and then
that pizza was delicious. You shut your mouth.
Oh.
I know. I'm not saying it's. I don't. I liked it too.
Those triangles with the little pepperoni cubes.
I have something horrible to tell you, ladies and gentlemen. Those school lunches of our past, the ones we remember. You know, the hexagon Mexican pizzas, the weird trapezoidal pepperonis. And just even the rectangular cheese pizzas, all of those are gone now.
Oh,
yeah.
Replaced by Taco Bell.
No. Replaced by Papa John's.
Yep.
Yeah, hey, because that's healthy.
But real ingredients, guys.
I
can't say shit. I eat Papa John's tonight.
She freaking loves Papa John's. She can't say anything.
I would say that it's great as long as they make sure that every kid gets a pepperoncini and the little dish of garlic, you know, swirl
garlic oil.
That you can pour all over everything. Yeah, that. I don't care. I make up words.
He does.
I talk into this microphone and words come out. I cannot necessarily control what they are or how they sound.
Anyway,
I mean, what's wrong with having the taco in high school? That's what they served in my high school was Taco Bell.
I don't consider teenagers children.
Yeah.
Animals.
I know.
Yeah, we didn't get Taco Bell in our I don't remember Taco Bell ever being
I didn't get a fast food restaurant in my high school, but in my college, in the college cafeteria, there was a Burger King.
Did you get right there? Did you get remember the peanut butter balls?
Oh yeah.
The peanut butter balls are made with just all it is confectioner sugar and peanut butter.
Yeah.
You know that
they had chocolate chips in them.
Some of them, not all of them, but some of them did.
I have to say the first item that I ever encountered that was at serious risk of giving me diabetes.
Yeah.
They I'd like to talk to you about diabetes.
Diabetes, yes. Wilford
Brimley. Well, with that peanut butter ball, you don't have to talk at all.
You can't.
Yeah, it was more like...
I seriously,
that's why they gave them to you.
I want the recipe so that I can bring it home and like roll it in chocolate and just, you know, have it like a chocolate covered peanut butter ball. Cause that right there would be like the perfect consistency.
Is that called a Reese's cup?
No. It's different. I swear it's different. It's more like peanut butter truffle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the kind of consistency. But yeah, those are gone now too, because apparently, you know, anybody that brings a peanut in school is apparently a felon. You know, so yeah. We can't have that.
But I'm not going to vaccinate my kids.
Yeah. Peanut
I have
thing.
To breathe because you were going down a line. Yep.
On the peanut thing, I have to say as wild as the overreaction is, I still do understand where they're coming from, because peanut allergies are freaking lethal. Yeah. And it can be, and the agent that causes the reaction can aerosolize. It can be just carried in the air. So that one I at least understand some of where they're coming from.
And yet they still offer Uncrustables.
Right?
Is it because they're sealed? Like
I think
around the edges?
Sealed. I think it's because they're sealed.
What
they're
a weird thing.
They're sealed around the edges, but they're also in the sealed packaging.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah, it's just...
It's weird. I don't know.
Yeah, anyway. These regulations don't make any sense, and apparently Paul Ryan thinks that, yeah. The quote was, she once met a young boy from a poor family, and every day at school, he would get a free lunch from a government program. But he told Eloise he didn't want a free lunch. He wanted his own lunch, one in a brown paper bag, just like the other kids. He wanted one, he said, because he knew a kid with a brown paper bag had someone who cared for him.
Yeah, and that is a case of intentionally misrepresenting the testimony, because the kid is not complaining about school lunches and that they're awful. He's complaining that his home life is worse off than someone else. He wants to have a better life. That's not the school lunch's problem.
Right. The fact that he's getting a school lunch is probably the only reason that kid can actually function in school.
That's probably the best thing in his life going right now. Paul Ryan, you're an asshole.
Man, yeah. It's as if they put more money into food stamps, he'd be able to have that oh-so-coveted
Right?
Or, hey, I don't know, maybe if you raise the minimum wage so that people could exist.
Yeah, I wonder, how
could you afford to buy paper bags?
Yeah.
Who can afford paper bags anymore?
Amazing. How could we fix that, Mr. Ryan? How could we fix that empty soul?
Well, clearly we need to slash all the funding for every government project ever.
Oh.
And
okay.
Yeah, and reduce the minimum wage to $0 an hour. Because
and get those women out of the workplace. Because
that
home where they belong.
Because all of that makes fucking sense.
So, yes, this speech was made to a conservative political action conference, obviously CPAC, the country's largest gathering of conservative leaders and activists Thursday. Shared his story. Anyway, yes, this was in Wisconsin. Scott Walker, you know, plenty of bad things that we can look at there. But yeah, really, if you want
these like conservative conferences in the middle of effing nowhere, is because no one else really wants to deal with them.
It's the target audience. It's the only ones that'll listen to them.
Yeah. They're the ones that'll listen to them, and it is true. They have difficulty getting traction in other places simply because when word circulates that a Republican convention is thinking about being in the area, people raise a huge stink because they don't want to be around them.
It was in Tampa.
Do you think that speech about a child who really just would like to feel normal and not poor? That's really what it amounts to.
Yeah.
Yep.
That how well do you think that would work out in, say, Los Angeles?
I'm pretty sure he would be stoned to death, like old school biblical stoning right there on the stage.
That might
because
happen.
This is coming from a guy who was born into a family whose his parents were lawyers. Or at least one of his parents was a lawyer. And like his grandfather or something founded an earth moving company. And so he was filthy rich his entire life. He doesn't know what it is to be poor. He needs to shut the hell up about things he doesn't understand.
None whatsoever. And speaking of things that we don't really understand fully. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm very sorry, but we're going to move. We're going to have to move this train to Baltimore.
Choo choo.
Choo choo.
Choo choo.
Yeah. As the flaming train comes into the station.
Choo choo, motherfucker.
Yeah, that's the meme. That's the meme for this sucker. Okay. I've been trying to both follow it and not follow it because it's too horrendous. I know that the basics that I know. Is that essentially the same thing that happened in Ferguson. There was a man that was killed by police and basically everybody rioted. This only happens when it's a giant pressure cooker and there was some buildup of all of this over a long period of time. Fortunately, at the end here, the death has been actually classified as a homicide, finally. So there may be at least some justice on the horizon, some actual justice, unlike Ferguson. So, at least they've got that going for them. But of course, they've rioted and destroyed much of the city in complaint over all of this. Now, I had David do some research and pulling some items. David, you want to hit what you found?
All right. So I hit a number of things. And, I'm going to lead this with, if you ever have the urge or inkling to go to InfoWars for anything whatsoever, don't do it to yourself.
What's InfoWars, David?
Oh, that's Alex Jones. Right wing propaganda BS factory. So the link that I followed that led me there was, we've got video from inside the police van shows what happened to, Freddie Gray before he died. And they took the scene from Liar Liar where Jim Carrey is beating himself up and overlaid dispatch audio over top of it.
Really? So claiming that he did it all to himself?
Basically that he did it to himself.
Wow.
As part of some sort of conspiracy. And it's just like...
So that's sensitive.
Yeah, it is the most irreverent approach to the subject you could ever possibly do.
Yeah, it's like, at least, all things aside, somebody died over this.
Yeah.
You can at least have some fucking class. Just a little bit of class. Just 1 ounce of class could be good.
That would be nice.
Compassion.
Wait, what was that word done?
I said compassion.
Oh, no, we can't have that.
Oh, no.
Can't have compassion.
So I'll hit B first.
Okay.
So I'll go the opposite direction. So B is actually video of the arrest. And
not from official sources by bystanders. This is important.
By bystanders. They didn't have there's apparently no body cam footage of the arrest.
I'm shocked.
The bystanders were apparently very upset. That he had been tased down off of his bicycle, which is, you know, giving you a little thought where the injury may have occurred because he was right next to about a 3 foot tall block wall, apparently, when they tased him off of his bicycle. So it was very easy. He came off the bike and hit the edge of that. Well, that didn't stop them from throwing him onto his stomach, locking his arms behind his back, handcuffing him. Dragging him up, even though he was just like ragdoll, demanding that he move his legs and walk, loading him into a police van while he screamed in pain. It's a tough video to watch. But
jeez.
Yeah.
Okay.
He requested medical assistance apparently during the drive. It was his pleas for medical assistance were ignored, and then he ended up dying. So that's six officers who manhandled this dude and essentially caused his death are now going to go to trial for homicide. Or, you know, at the very least, wrongful death, manslaughter.
Now, what reason did they give?
Getting off easy.
What reason did they give for tasing him off his bicycle?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's the most interesting part of this whole story. I have not looked into it as much as you have, David, but I've looked into it a little bit. And I can find not a single justification for the police doing what they did. I'm not sure what he was accused of. I'm not sure if he was a fugitive. I'm not sure if he was a suspect. I don't know what happened. It just seems like they randomly picked the dude and fucked him up.
Yeah. This is one of those things. I have to do a little bit more research on this, but just to hit some of the key points, there was a court case where the Supreme Court apparently decided that you could go to jail for the crime of resisting arrest. Resisting arrest is a crime on itself, and you did not apparently need to have another crime committed other than resisting arrest. Begs the question of what are you resisting the arrest for that you're being arrested and brought to jail for resisting?
Yeah, exactly.
So... that's one of those things that just kind of strikes me as totally ridiculous, and it may be the case here. Now, other people have brought up that this dude had an extensive rap sheet for having been arrested in the past. That's just something that we're going to have to come to terms with, and I'll get to another story later. We've got to have a dialogue of what our police forces are for and what they are doing in certain neighborhoods. But to get back on topic here, this dude, I don't know what the hell went wrong here, but they tased him off his bicycle. They arrested him. They denied him medical care. And if medical care had been provided when he requested it, there's a good chance he would be alive.
Okay. I just found, CNN has a Freddie Gray arrest timeline, which is rather useful. So there's the initial arrest, and they took exactly the kind of approach, thank you CNN, for what we really want to know here, which is what we know and what we don't know. And those are in each of the steps here. So initial arrest, what we know. A police officer makes eye contact with Gray and another individual in a high crime area of Baltimore. Gray and another person bolt, and the officer, along with others, gives chase. Gray is stopped and, quote, gave up without the use of force, end quote, according to Rodriguez. Police call for a transport van, and officers drag him into it. Video shows Gray screaming in apparent pain. He asked for an inhaler, which he did not get. What we don't know, video from the arrest does not show the entire incident. It starts with Gray already on the ground. We don't know what happened before the camera started rolling. Now, you say that there was another video that does show some of what happened there, right?
No, the video starts, he's on the ground already.
Okay, so it's the same video.
The person taking the video claimed that he was tased.
Okay, but we don't have that video.
But we don't have that on video.
Okay, go ahead.
That footage is being suppressed if it exists.
I would say probably, yeah.
Yeah.
And then the first stop, what we know, the van makes its first stop at 8:46 a.m. The officer asks the driver to stop so they can finish paperwork and put Gray in leg shackles. He is described by the driver of the van as irate, according to Rodriguez. Gray was able to move and talk at this point. We also know that Gray was not seat belted in the van as per police policy. What we don't know, was he actually irate? Was Gray injured during the stop? Several witnesses saw what happened and have spoken to investigators. We don't know yet what they said. Then the second stop, what we know, the previous disclosed stop was discovered from a privately owned camera. Deputy Commissioner Kevin Davis told reporters without elaborating. Well, we don't know. Authorities haven't said anything yet about why this stop took place, nor what happened. Each stop is supposed to be logged, and what And that did not happen in this case. Quote, obviously it raises all kinds of questions. Somebody in the police department knew about this stop, and what it suggests is that whoever was driving the van, whoever was involved in the trip, was not forthcoming, said Bill Yeomans, a former Justice Department official. So it just gets worse and worse. Yeah. So
this could be one of those cases where, sorry to talk over you.
Go ahead.
This could be one of those cases where there's a crime ring operating inside the police force itself. Usually drugs are involved, or people who want to peddle drugs are involved. And this guy was apparently a dealer, based on the extensive rap sheet that he had. Somebody with power outside on the streets may have wanted him off the streets to get out of their territory and got some people on the inside to take care of their problem for them.
Well, that's a little Alex Jones right there.
It's a little Alex Jones.
That's a little out there.
It's a little out there, but it has happened.
Oh, it's perfectly possible. I don't think this is tinfoil hat territory.
Yeah. Sadly,
it's a little conspiratorial, sure, but it's something that we know has happened on a much more regular basis than we like to admit in our police force.
Sadly, that is not made up out of whole cloth, certainly. I mean, that is something that has happened. There is precedence for it, so it cannot be completely set out there. We would prefer, of course, that never ever be the case, but we have history
We do not live in a perfect universe, but regardless of what may or may not be going on with all that, because none of that is proven, we have pretty firm evidence that this guy was mistreated, that whatever happened to him on the police side of things was not above board. It was not recorded. He was denied medical care, which is a huge no-no. And any way you look at it, these police officers done a crime.
Mm-hmm. There were no other bruises on his body, per the medical examiner's report. His spine was the only thing that was severed. That's where I'm starting to think somebody shanked this dude.
Yeah, that's a very specific injury.
Yes. And it was the only one he had on his person.
Yeah, that kind of thing doesn't happen on accident.
No. Yeah, there was a third stop and a fourth stop. On the fourth stop, the van stopped to render assistance to another unrelated arrest. The driver of the van decides to respond to that location, where a second prisoner is put inside the van with Gray. According to Officer Batts, the prisoner could not see Gray, but he could hear him, and what he heard was, quote, Freddie thrashing about, end quote. The same prisoner also told investigators that he thought Gray was, quote, was intentionally trying to injure himself. That's what the Washington Post reported. What we don't know, there was no video from inside the van, so we don't know exactly what happened inside. Was Gray intentionally trying to hurt himself? Was he already in the throes of a medical emergency? If he was trying to hurt himself, why did officers not do anything to stop him?
Yeah.
Negligence. And in the absolute least, gross negligence.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How do we know the thrashing wasn't, say, from the seizure?
Yeah, we don't know.
Yeah.
We do not know. But that certainly fits a narrative of those that know what happens to those that go into a sort of shock situation where he was asking for an inhaler. Okay, that limits the number of things that could be a known condition.
Yeah. It was for his asthma.
Well, you know what happens?
Another asthmatic.
You know what happens when you don't get an inhaler as an asthmatic? You start to asphyxiate. You know what happens when you start to asphyxiate? Well, a lot of things, but among them is seizing.
Yeah, your body is desperately trying to get air any way that it can, and you start to lose control.
Mm-hmm.
What we know, at the police station, both prisoners were taken into the Western District Police Station. A medic is called for Gray. He is later transported to the University of Maryland Medical Center, where Gray dies 1 week later on April 19th. The police investigation into his death found no evidence he died as a result of injuries caused during his arrest, according to CNN affiliate WJLA, citing multiple law enforcement sources briefed on the police findings. The sources quoted WJLA said the medical examiner has determined Gray's death was caused by, quote, catastrophic injury after he slammed into the back of the police transport van, apparently breaking his neck. A head injury was sustained, matches a bolt in the back of the van.
Okay, and how is that not the police officer's fault? Because if he was, you know, strapped down like he should have been, he wouldn't have done that.
Gross negligence.
See? It's, yep. This whole thing is just, like, we keep comparing it to Ferguson, it keeps being appropriate. It just reeks of a whitewash. A literal whitewash, because this is a black guy getting mistreated by the cops. They're just making it look however they want to try to sweep it all under the rug. And my favorite thing that has come out of this, I don't think it's on your line, on the show notes here, Andy, is the video of Geraldo Rivera being confronted by protesters.
And
absolutely getting his ass handed to him. Of, you know, they are just destroying him and the network for their inflammatory and bigoted coverage of not just this, but all sorts of events. And it's really fantastic. It's just, this is that next step up from Ferguson, where they learned in Ferguson that they can no longer get away with this crap. And yet they're trying it again with different tactics, I guess. And they're still
trying to learn from their mistakes, make a better go of it. You know, give it the old college try.
They're trying to do better with their inflammatory stuff,
and they're still failing because we already know your true colors, guys. We know you're full of crap, and we're not falling for it.
It might interest anybody out there to know that right now there's people in Kentucky who are rioting, but it's not getting any press coverage because they're white and they're not oppressed and they're rioting for no reason whatsoever. So I don't know.
Oh, I was going to ask if somebody lost a football game.
Yeah, it's either football or hockey.
Somebody won a football game.
Yeah, because it just seems like, I mean, look at, you want to talk about, you know, you always hear this rhetoric from especially the Grand Ole Party about how, you know, this rioting from the minorities is just absolutely counterproductive and it shows how horrible they all are. It's like,
prove a point.
Do you know of any white population who has ever proved a point peacefully? I mean, Manchester tears their city apart every time they play a game. It doesn't matter whether they win or lose. Manchester is on fire. What the hell?
That's because it's made of testosterone. I don't know. The game is made of testosterone. That's what
they just look at the stuff that occurred with the Clive and Bundy ranch. Those are all white people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well,
they were ready to kill some people. They, you know, it was beyond,
and not just people.
They weren't going to light things on fire. They were going to shoot federal officers.
And yet these people were touted as heroes somehow.
Oh yeah, because they're white.
I don't see how they could possibly be heroes. Guys. I mean, none of that makes any sense at all. And there should have been major arrests there. I mean, come on, if you can stay there long enough to actually take pictures of the guy with the sniper rifle, you know, beat it on federal officers, that guy's got to go to jail.
It's a federal offense. To the best of my knowledge, nobody involved in that situation has gone to jail.
No, not at all. Not at all. But that's,
and it's absolutely,
but we digress. Certainly that's ugly, but we want to wrap this up because we don't want to spend too much time down in the gutter with these folks.
Silver linings.
Well, we didn't even touch on why the whole riots are beginning.
A good one to hit for 30 seconds. I can sum that sucker up.
Do it.
So everybody's talking about the Baltimore riots and how it all started. And the protesters gathered and then they clashed with police. Well, it turns out there's some reports out there. That's not exactly what happened. The police got a report via Twitter that there was going to be a purge that night. And so what they decided to do was they decided to cut off busing of the public school kids so they couldn't go home. And where these kids all catch the bus is at this particular mall where the purge was supposed to start. So they showed up at the mall in their riot gear as the kids were getting out of school wanting to go home because they didn't want to be part of a purge. And they were denied access to their buses. The buses that had picked them up were stopped at this mall, and they were told to disembark from the buses. So they were milling about, locked into an area where the police had blocked it all off and could not get out. And they were marched upon by police in riot gear per several witness testimony. The video hasn't yet come out of all of this occurring, but there are some videos which show, you know, public school kids just hanging out, talking to each other, looking around, and there's, you know, lines of police in riot gear standing there staring at them.
So literally hundreds of minors were detained without parental consent or information.
Yeah. Yep. They shut down all the busing. There was no way for these kids to vacate the premises. So they basically set up their own riot.
Yeah. So they knew the outcome they wanted, and they arranged it so that it would happen. And then they just hoped nobody would notice it was all their fault.
They blamed it on Twitter.
Yeah, because the there's a really simple question here. How do you justify essentially imprisoning all of these school kids?
Right. And the answer
is a resounding silence, because there is no justification.
More to the point is, how do you get to the place in your brain where gathering all of these kids in the place where the quote unquote purge is supposed to happen is a good idea?
Yeah, especially if you're trying to avoid that very situation.
Get them home as fast as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So, which A, removes people from the equation, and B, allows you to see if some particular group is gathering in that area.
Yeah, that's just
specifically.
Well, now,
so that's just bad police work.
Yeah, here's where we're going to get a little bit into tinfoil hat territory, but this reeks to me of a situation where they're hoping to set up a situation where they can ride in and be the heroes. You know, they force all these kids to be in the area so that when the riots start, they can come in and save the children and look like the good guys.
Now, to go one step further into Alex Jones' territory, you know, I need like a little tinfoil hat around here somewhere. So I love hats. Right? I just need to wear one. Yeah. Cause I can do it too. I hate them, but I can do it. There were also images of several, Baltimore police officers that were in hoodies that were actually planted among the crowd to rabble rouse and start throwing things. And this is not the first report, of course, that we've had of this kind of activity by the police where they plant somebody into, you know, like the Occupy Wall Street folks, there were plants into those communities, into the tent cities and things like that to rabble rouse, to get them to do something incriminating, to make them get dispersed.
It's entrapment.
Yeah.
And you know who's actually doing 80% of the looting, like the night that all the looting was happening? Not protesters. It was all white people. Guess what they were stealing? Beer and Doritos.
Beer and Doritos.
Beer and Doritos, y'all.
Really? Just beer and Doritos? Wow, they could do so much
better. Right? Time partying.
It's not like they were stealing water or canned food, just in case they can't get to it the next day.
No, they just want a beer. They just wanted to get drunk.
That's
so. I mean, at least get some. At least get some hoodies and masks and.
Yeah. At least get some hot dogs and some hamburgers and.
No, beer and Doritos. That's what
they're having. Mm-hmm.
Such interesting statistics that we get out of these things. So, okay. So, eventually, now that you've set the scene there, that makes this much, much more interesting. There was a Baltimore mom who finally came and got her son and found him throwing things at police officers. So she basically takes him by his ear and browbeats him over the head several times, basically in the... I think we all can figure out what the narrative there, which was, what the hell you think you're doing?
Don't provoke the police officers.
And getting very upset. So that little video, because that got captured on a video, went a bit viral. I think we all saw it. And many of us are saying that, good, you should be removing your child from that kind of action and making sure that he knows that it is a bad action. And this is not like a little kid. No, this is a teenager who can certainly...
Like 16, 17.
He was taller than she was. Yeah, he's taller than she was, but certainly not as bright, perhaps. And now, Child Protective Services is launching an investigation on her.
Yes, it's very interesting what the white-dominated government organization is doing. They're mad that she stopped the riot that they wanted to cause.
Well, I think that might be tinfoil. That
and
might,
now
that might be more
they're
tinfoil.
Taking it out on her.
Yeah, when I first saw this, I was running through the comments just to see, you know, validity and things like that. And somebody said, "Oh, this has got to be a fake." His very next comment was, "I read it. It's not fake. Sad face."
Yeah. But here's the thing. The WASP, I'm just going to say WASPs, the conservative WASPs, are hailing this woman for removing him because he shouldn't be there because there's no reason to riot. When in actuality, the reality of the situation, she just didn't want her son to be another Freddie Gray. That is the tragic, horrifying, scary part of it.
Yeah. She just didn't want him to get shot by the cops.
Exactly. Yeah. It was for his physical safety, not he might get arrested. It's you might not see tomorrow.
Yeah.
That is what she was thinking of.
I'm not going to outlive you.
The narrative goes, quote, a woman seen hitting and berating a black-clad teenager, later confirmed to be her son, has been hailed as Mom of the Year after her intervention on the streets of Baltimore was caught on video. As violence flared up across the city Monday, the woman who was identified as Toya Graham on Tuesday afternoon was filmed telling her child to take that fucking mask off. Graham spoke to CBS News about the video, which initially went viral with little context. In the interview, the single mother of six tells the network that she intervened out of concern for her 16-year-old son's safety. She said, quote, "That's my only son, and at the end of the day, I don't want him to be a Freddie Gray, but to stand up there and to vandalize police officers, that's not justice."
See, that is a good mama.
That is a good mother. So a Child Protective Services Baltimore spokesman told Newslow, after reviewing the video in question, it has come to our attention that Ms. Graham is a mother of six. Although her actions are somewhat understandable, we cannot allow a young man to suffer such violence and abuse regardless of the cause. Therefore, Child Protective Services investigators will question Ms. Graham and her children, and will also conduct an investigation that will determine if Ms. Graham will be allowed to continue being her children's legal guardian.
Graham, that's a load of shit, because white people beat the crap out of their kids all the goddamn time and nothing ever happens to them. The only reason she's being persecuted is because she's black. Again.
Hispanic, though, is she? Or is she black?
Is she Hispanic?
No, she's black.
She's black.
And caught on video.
Yeah. That's the only reason. This is an example of good parenting, that, and they're going to drag her under the bus.
Yeah, she's slapping some sense at him.
Yeah,
hopefully.
No. Yeah, exactly.
Sometimes if the kid is 16 or 17, that's the only way to do it.
Yeah.
Just to
throw a little bit of silver lining on all of that, there's a, you know, all of the stuff that's going on right now is starting what we're doing now, which is the national debate on what our police forces are actually doing to our fellow citizens. I mean, we talk about them as a, you know, as a different demographic, but they are our fellow citizens.
Yeah.
And what is being allowed to occur to them during this time frame is just plain awful. It is straight up awful.
We're losing a great deal of our humanity about this. And now, a lot of us, I've never heard of this site. It's a Newslow. Which is just enough news. And I was like, wait a second, I don't know what this is. So I'm digging in, and I went to their About Us page here. And it says, About Us, Just Enough News. Newslow is the first hybrid news satire platform on the web. Readers come to us for a unique brand of entertainment and information that is enhanced by features like our fact button, which allows readers to find what is fact and what is satire. Newslow's No Need to Satirize brings you complete factual stories that are so ridiculous they don't need our trademark touch. Whenever you see hashtag NNTS, you're reading completely true news that only seems too absurd to be true. So let me go back and see about whether or not that's in here, which unfortunately I think it probably is, just to make sure. I don't see it, but that doesn't mean anything yet. Where is it? Show facts. Okay, looks like no. The Child Protective Services deal is just a little bit over. I like this. This is clever. So if you hit the...
Interesting.
Yeah, show facts, it highlights the actual facts. So, no. Thankfully, Child Protective Services has not been called. And that is the silver lining of this case. Because it is just too ridiculous to mention otherwise.
Can I just drop some knowledge on y'all?
Please. We love knowledge drops.
While this whole Baltimore situation is about the... Let's face it, the over-militarization of our police force within the country. It is also how our fellow citizens are being treated, specifically black people. If we just want to break it down literally to black and white, I have some facts for you guys.
Okay,
sure.
This is multiple studies compiled into one of those nice...
Hey, Mike?
Yeah?
Go ahead and mute your microphone because we're getting some weird, terrible echo coming out of Jess.
Okay.
No. I'm just not sure where it's coming from because I know you're in the same vicinity. So it's just
yes.
Okay.
Literally thousands of resumes were sent out to employers. Two resumes were sent. One with the name of Dante J. Williams and David J. Williams, exactly the same except for the black sounding name. Black sounding names were 50% less likely to be called back for the same exact job with the same exact qualifications. Black people are charged roughly $700 more than white people when purchasing a car. Multiple studies show that black people are twice as likely to be pulled over by police, which surprises no one, which is sad. Marijuana use is equal between blacks and whites, yet black people are four times more likely to be arrested and six times more likely to go to jail. Black clients are also shown 17.7% fewer houses for sale when they are looking for realty to purchase. White legislators on both sides of the fence did not respond as frequently to constituents with black sounding names on both sides of the fence.
Wow.
They both did. So if this isn't a country full of racism, I don't know what else to call it. Oh, and also another study has shown that people perceive people of color to not feel pain as intensely as white people.
So yeah, I read that study.
They literally do not feel pain. They're perceived to not be as in pain.
Highly disturbed by that study, which is of course complete bullshit.
Yeah.
Well, there's a TED talk that I linked in here, which people ought to go to and take a look at. It's worth the 10 minutes or so of this woman talking about her experience living for 6 years in a black neighborhood in Philadelphia, just outside of Penn State. And that was her kind of graduate thesis study, was finding out what is actually going on. And it's worth investigating. And we need these snapshots. We need to know what is occurring in these neighborhoods.
Does it belong in the silver lining section?
I put it there because it's part of the discussion of, you know, it's part of the waking up process. It's part of getting the information out there. That, you know, at this point, you know, it sounds so unbelievable, and I hate to say it, but people don't believe what is occurring to the black people when a black person tells them. Yeah, so it's a white voice saying it.
Yeah.
it's horrible to say, and it's horrible to admit that is a true statement, but that is a true statement, you know, and it's like,
yeah.
It's hard to put it in the silver linings, but it's something that
it's on the road to silver linings.
Yeah. It's a step in that direction
because we have to humanize. We have to get our humanity back as a group.
The thing about this is, and I think it's similar for any kind of situation where you have a huge social imbalance like this, like with the feminist movement and all that. We can't win their battle for them. Because we all here, for example, are white. We cannot win that battle for them because that's their battle and they need to get justice, and we can't get it for them because we don't even understand what they're going through. But the more we stand up and say, this is fucking terrible, you all need to be looking at this, the more people are going to look at it, and the more they are going to be heard.
True. That is using your privilege correctly.
And that is all we can do is keep pointing to the problem and say, you need to start asking these people what they actually live through. Eventually, it'll work.
And that is the important part. It's not speaking for them. It's creating the space so that they can be heard, so that their stories can be told with their voices. Because while as educated as we are and as lively imaginations as I know we all have, we don't know what it's like to be black. We do not. No. And be very wary of saying you don't see a person's skin color, because that it could be A, very dehumanizing, and B, it erases the entire history of what they personally and their families and just their people in general have gone through.
So
saying you don't see skin color is erasure, and that is an act of violence.
Yeah, I think we need to turn that phrase around and say, you know, saying that we are colorblind, no. We are not colorblind. Because saying that you are colorblind is just, again, it's putting the whitewash over them. It's ignoring who they are.
White is not the default.
Yeah, we need to turn that phrase right around and say that being colorblind is a bad thing.
Be color aware,
perhaps. You can't
afford
to be colorblind anymore.
Exactly.
Yeah. Just you need to be aware. And, I don't know, think about how that other person is. You know, we're all very self-centered in our own lives. I mean, and that is to be expected. We are self-centered creatures. We have to deal with ourselves, you know, with that creature that faces us back in the mirror. You know, that is our own little universe. But it does take a strong person to expand your horizon and actually think about how another person lives. That's not even inside your own family. Think about that person on the street, you know, anything. I encourage you to do that. But as we're looking at this, Denver has a package on the books now as a police oversight bill introduced into the Colorado legislature, includes a measure that would impose an up to $15,000 civil penalty if a law enforcement officer seizes or destroys a citizen's recording or interferes with someone trying to film them.
About damn time. Because there's all sorts of laws and rhetoric on the books about how if you're in a public place, you shouldn't expect privacy because you're in a public place. And we see this turned to terrible ends from people who defend people who shoot upskirt videos and perverts like that. But this is turning your own rhetoric right around on you. Police officers work in the public eye. Guess what? You're being watched. Deal with it.
Yep.
And this is in stark contrast to places like, Texas, that was trying to outlaw recording of police officers or make it excessively difficult to do so.
Right.
Within 25 feet. You can't see shit at 25 feet.
Well,
yeah.
What is that 25 feet? Where is that measured from? Is that measured from the officer's person? Are you required to maintain 25 feet distance from an officer who's approaching you?
Well, yes, and then you're resisting arrest, and then you're going to end up in the back of a van. So, obviously, that's a problem, and it has been noticed, and at least Colorado is working on it. It's a great article. I'm not going to read the rest of it, but because you've got the point, they're actually working on it, and it has bipartisan support, so that is probably going to pass. And they are not trying to penalize police, but they do know that they also need to protect the citizens. Now, the ACLU has just unveiled a new mobile app. Did you know that there's an app for recording police?
Interesting.
So,
and this is important to have, because if you're uploading the video in real time, there's no way for them to delete it.
Yeah.
So, given how much abuse police practices have been in the news lately, the American Civil Liberties Union, the ACLU, has developed a new mobile application that makes recording cops engaged in potentially abusive behavior a breeze. The new app, called Mobile Justice California, was created by the ACLU of California affiliate to help citizens record and report police incidents and send them directly to the ACLU's office. It's not just about recording a video either. The ACLU's app gives you a checklist of information about the time and location of the incident the actions of the civilians involved and the actions of the officer involved. This will presumably help the ACLU sort out cases more quickly to determine the scale of the alleged abuse. By default, all recordings are sent to the ACLU anonymously, although you have the option of giving your name, email, and phone number so the ACLU can contact you for follow-up questions. The other features of the app is the witness function that lets you see where other incidents near you are being taped in real time. If you're within a short distance of the incident, you can go witness it yourself and thus make yourself available for testimony at a trial. The app is available for download for free on both iOS and the Google Play Store. And then there's a video to check out the app's features. Basically, in the video, the real quick rundown is that as a police officer is, in the mock video, the police officer is doing some abusive behavior and sees somebody that's recording him and says, give me that camera. And that is the point where it is, stop recording, and it immediately flashes uploading to ACLU. So it's like, okay, I stopped. No problem. And the ACLU already knows who you are.
Yeah.
Yes. And it's too late
for you.
It is too late. It has already been sent. It is too late. And that is that it? No. Okay. Then there's the TED Talk. You had me confused there because you added it in the last minute. And that's it. That's it for the ugly. That's it for all of our news items. So now we can clean our palate and look to good things with the last gasp of our plugs and saying goodbye and what we have to offer you as people, our entertainment reviews, our nitpicks, etc. I have nothing.
You have nothing?
Unbelievable.
That's very unusual.
I have nothing.
I mean,
I have one before we get into the good fun stuff that I know is coming up.
Go ahead.
Just to touch back on Baltimore and all of that kind of sort of stuff. This actually covers a lot of subjects in general. Do yourself a favor. Look up the definition of a microaggression. Look up examples of microaggressions, because this could apply to things of racism, transphobia, homophobia. You don't even realize you're doing it. You're basically pointing out a person's otherness. You're isolating them into their otherness.
This is in the field of educating yourself, which we always endorse, and it also and in doing so, you may find that you are Chris Traeger in Parks and Rec and go, oh my God, I am part of the problem.
Oh my God. So just educate yourself on microaggressions. That is all I have.
Okay.
For the rest of tonight.
Microaggressions. All right.
Educate yourself.
I have culled an article from Wikipedia for that. So okay. There it is.
Cool.
Microaggression theory. Educate yourself on that entirely. I love that.
Yes.
Okay. David, what you got?
Fun stuff.
I have fun stuff.
Oh my
stuff.
God. You have all the Twitch all the time. What is this?
So these are three, there's three links here. They're all interrelated.
Okay.
And this is off of Twitch TV, and it's fantastic fun. So it's Let's Robot. Now, the first link gives you an overhead view of this little maze-like area that they've got set up in a basement or somebody's house somewhere. I'm not sure where it is, but it's awesome.
Okay.
And what you do there is you go to iLobot or NinaBot, which are two separate stations, and through the chat room, you are able to control a robot that is moving through here. Now, you are also fighting with everybody else in the chat room to control the robot, so it's a little bit hive mind stuff going on. So you kind of look at what everybody else is doing, and then you add your own stuff to it, and, you hit F for forward, R for backward, L and R.
But there's a significant delay, too. It's like a 30-second delay before...
There's like a 30-second delay before your command actually takes. Yeah. So it is pretty interesting, but it's a lot of fun to control this little robot. NinaBot had a... They're adding to the robots as they go. So NinaBot had a little gripper arm on the front of it, which I was able to control the robot long enough to actually grip onto another robot that he had wandering around on the floor space that the guy running this was controlling. And so I was able to grab onto its leg and then do left, right, left, right, left, right to kind of shake it around like a dog, which is great fun. I had a blast with this thing today. It was what I was doing right before podcasting. I got to throw a shout out to Nico, who actually showed me this thing and helped me waste hours of my day.
Oh, Nico, what have you done?
It's incredible. I had a great time. And it was, you know, it's a thing that is worth checking out. Okay. He's got some really neat Maze stuff. Apparently he does these things where he puts code words on a sticky note, throws it somewhere on the map, and when you come across it, if you're the first person to tweet it to him, he gives you a game code for some game or other. So you can get free game. Excuse me, free computer games out of this. It's pretty cool.
Okay.
Check it out.
All right. Robot. Check that out. All right. Let's see. Hey, Mike, you're next on the list.
Yes. In the vein of, you know, wasting hours of your day on something that is just pure entertainment, I have been playing a whole lot of a game called Pillars of Eternity from our friends over at Obsidian Entertainment, who brought us Neverwinter Nights 2, Knights of the Old Republic 2, Fallout New Vegas, all that good stuff. It harkens back to the days of Baldur's Gate, Neverwinter Nights, the old school, you know, based on D&D gaming, but with a lot of new twists to it, new class types, and it's just... It is just a richly written story in the way that only Obsidian Entertainment can deliver. Anyone who's played anything from their catalog knows what I'm talking about. It's totally worth investing in. And I just the other day got to chapter 2 of this story that I don't even know how long it is. And it's thoroughly engrossing so far. So I'm going to pick that, and I'm also going to shameless self plug my YouTube channel as always, since I am still going at it, trying to get followers, and I would love to have people watching me make a fool of myself playing video games.
Excellent. Excellent. I know that I've subscribed, and everyone else should too. Hey Don, you've got something too. What's going on there?
This goes back to the recording thing. And podcasting, as you know fairly well.
Thank you for being so kind.
I went out to a big trade show out in Vegas a couple weeks ago, and one of the things they came back with were very small, these little microphones, one of which is one that can plug into an iPhone or iDevice. It's a very high quality, basically professional quality microphone.
Ooh.
Very, very cheap that you can plug into an iPhone. All the other microphones on here are USB, so you can plug them into a regular phone or a computer or things like that. They function. I mean, we're talking about recording police. Well, you can plug this in and have a very high quality microphone that you can actually adjust to, like, get longer throw or wider. It's a stereo microphone as well. And they're like, the one that for the iPhone is like $150. That's wow. Like
yeah.
Full price. I mean, and that's for those type of things, not very much.
This is some interesting stuff here. And so with
the app that it comes with has full recording capabilities and control capabilities of, for the one that plugs into the iPhone, has full control, and you can like actively adjust the range of the microphone, the width of your pattern. So,
wow, they've even got one for connecting an XLR microphone to your iPhone.
Yep, and they have like basically little processing built into those, so you can select. They sound really good. They had them on the show floor, and I could pick out people on the other side of their trade booth. I could hear everything happening clearly, so you could actually determine what it is rather than just a jumble of noise. So,
wow. It's some cool looking stuff here. Definitely go out and check out what they're doing over at Shure. So the little ones, they're plugging into the Lightning connector.
Yeah, that little top one. It's probably about an inch and a half tall. And it turns so you can have it at a 90-degree angle. So while you're recording a video, it goes into the video app as well. So you can record video using this microphone rather than your built-in phone microphone.
Nice. Nice. So, Oh,
yeah, it's a motive. I think motive is a series, and the MV88 is the one that is really cool. Personally, I think I want to get the MV5 for maybe doing what we're doing here. It's good quality, little, fairly inexpensive microphone.
Some nice looking stuff. Nice looking stuff. And yeah, the MVL, that's just one that'll, just a lavalier, omnidirectional condenser that'll plug in to, any headphone jack, which is nice.
But yeah, and it's the, actually the one, it's the, four, it's basically for an iPhone or any, phone and stuff. So it's a full,
yeah,
real quality lavalier microphone for your phone.
Yeah, I could use that. That'd be nice. And that's only $70, and microphones are rather expensive, so that's great. And, you know, speaking of music and microphones and things like that, I did figure out a pick. I was updating my Plex server right before the show, and they have added a feature for better music management. I don't know how good it is, but anything that makes collecting my music easier and actually viewing it better, I'm all in favor of. So Plex.tv, go out there and check them out. Really, if you have local media on a desktop computer or anything that you want to share out to a Roku or an Apple TV or really almost anything at this point, hey, give it a shot. It is worth it. It's worth your time. So there you go, Plex.tv. Yeah, well, it's wonderful stuff.
Very and, good. I use it too.
I think that's it. Anybody else? Anything else? Have we missed anything?
Nope.
Nope.
Good to go.
I mean, unless we have a new cat video we can share.
Meow.
No. Always a new cat video, but we had Sprocket.
We had Sprocket. Sprocket was here. Anyway, that's it for us tonight. We'll be back next Friday about 9:30 p.m. in the Eastern time zone. In the meantime, hey, continue the conversation on the web. Head over to orelliaradio.com. That's orelliaradio.com for all the links right up at the top of the page. And do watch us live if you can and chat in the IRC like Nico. Hey, Nico, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And if you'd liked what we've done here, then please, you can help keep the lights on by following the Help Us link on the webpage. And that'll take you over to patreon.com. That's patreon.com/Cowen, C-O-W-E-N, that's me. And, hey, you know, if that's too rich for you to contribute financially, I understand. You can contribute with other ways. You know, that you can give us topic ideas, you can tell us when we're wrong, give us corrections, advertising offers, unclaimed lottery tickets, hate mail, unsolicited advice, whatever, by emailing us at orelliaradiopodcast@gmail.com. You can also leave us a voicemail at 470-222-6759, and you can post and vote on stories on our subreddit. Also, hey, leave us a glowing review on whatever platform you found us on. And of course, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Tumblr, circle us on Google Plus, and subscribe to the YouTube channel. Music for the show is created by Kevin McLeod of Incomptech.com, and we can't thank you enough for spending time with us. And until next time, this has been Oh Really Radio, part of the Cowen Services Network. Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye.
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 Bye. Bye now. Bye. Bye. Bye.